Are you ready for what God has for us this morning? Keep clapping your hands and let's welcome Ida! One day you'll be singing like Ida. Not like Igal. Be seated.
Direct my path. to feel the beating of your heart and know the sound of your voice. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what it's all about. Yes, it is.
That's why I keep asking, am I gonna wait in vain?
now? Am I gone away? Difficult. Why don't you want to move it? Why don't you want to change? Oh, why don't you want to change? Mm. Oh,
Oh, he spent everything.
must be quick to change your mind. You must be quick to hear. You must be quick to receive. Be quick to understand. You must be quick to humble yourself. Be quick to yield yourself.
Must be
soon I found you. Now I'm on my way. Jesus, deep in sin, and falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. But now I'm on my way. I have found a new life.
Hallelujah. Lift your hand and ask God direction for your life. Amen. Pray for the spirit of direction. Thank you, Lord. Ask God for revelation, for guidance. Ask God for direction. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for what you have done already for us. Guide us by your mighty Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. All right? He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this land. All right, to the land where I give you, to the children of Israel, every place that your foot shall tread upon, I have given it to you. Amen.
Amen.
Is that amazing?
Amazing?
Yes. So you can see that Joshua's ministry was about possessing the lands for God. It's not that the land was not possessed by human beings, but not the way God wanted the land to be was not the way the land was. So I believe that God's eternal plan for us is to possess the land for him, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the fact that the earth is the Lord's means that we are supposed to enforce that reality. Because if you don't take care, our lives will pass by and the earth will not be the Lord's, because it's inhabited by devils and by wicked people who don't know God and don't fear God. There's always somebody occupying the land. So in Israel today, they have what they call the occupied territories. And there are territories, and that land is important. That's why everybody wants Jerusalem. Because God has his eye on certain places and says, I want this for my purposes. So you notice that even though Israel is a small country and there have been conflicts in different places and in different parts of the world, Israel is always in the news. It's a very small country with few people that are fighting themselves all the time, killing themselves, doing all sorts of things. But it's always in the news. That alone should tell you the interest and the significance of that country and the significance of God's interest in his people possessing the land. Because he prophesied and he told them, I'll gather you and I'll bring you to the land. Years after, 2,000 years after, 1945, 1947, May 14th, he brought them. Are we in 2018? Yes, 1948. That's 50 years. So they are 50 years old. Yeah. In May. That they declared that we are here. 19,000 years. Long time went by. And they are back. And they are possessing the land. And they are fighting. And they keep on expanding. And it's now the safest place and most stable, prosperous place within the Middle East. And when I say Middle East, like it's bordered on all sides by other countries, Arab countries. So it's like it's right with them. It's not like it's a separate group. But they don't get along at all. If you go to Lebanon, you cannot go to Israel. I mean, if you go to Israel, you cannot go to Lebanon. If you have a stamp in your passport that you've been to Israel. Once I was in Beirut, and then they were checking my passport. I knew before I went that that's what they were looking for, whether I had been to Israel. Because if you've been to Israel before, you would be turned back at the border. All the countries, you'd be turned back. Yeah. I was once in Libya, and they told me three things we don't have here. We don't have Christians, we don't have Americans, we don't have Jews here. Yes. And if you have a visa or you've been to Israel, it's in your passport, they will not allow you to enter Libya. I don't know how it's like now. But at that time, Gaddafi was there. So they are right there. But the last time I flew out of Tel Aviv, I looked out of the window and I saw like it's like a very modern city. I mean, right in the middle of confusion. It's amazing. So, God has his divine purpose and his divine plan. Now, for us as believers, the world is inhabited by people, but more so by spirits. Do you see? And people who don't believe in God. So he has also, in our time, right, given us the land. And that's our duty, to possess the land for Jesus. To preach the gospel and to make people know God. Right? So, no city will be too strong for us. And no country will be too strong, including Canada. How many people do you have in Canada? 35 million people. Okay. So, nowhere will be too strong. You see, one of the things people don't realize, and it's people who don't travel. What people don't realize is that they feel... You become conscious of the problems where you are. But everywhere there are problems. It's either this problem or that problem. But there are problems, serious ones. Serious problems that will prevent anybody from possessing the land. Serious problems. So, a believer cannot afford to focus on the problems. Yeah. So you cannot afford to do that. You have to decide to focus on the commandments of God. Amen. And whatever the commandment of God says, That's what you must do. So I'm speaking, you know, I can see some young ones here. You have to be. No, it's not just clapping. It's about obeying. You know, there are people, many times we don't want to do what he says. We want to sing about it, talk about it, but don't want to do it. So it's time to do what he says. It's time to do what he says. Not just hear it, sing it, clap about it, be happy about it, but to do it. That's what we need. We need doers. Yeah. You know, one day I went to a church, one of our churches, and when I was going there, people were clapping for me and waving and all that. And I told the pastor, I said, all these people are not serious. They are not serious. No, I know them. Not that they were clap. It's not like waving or clapping. It means you're not serious. But I knew them. And what I told him that they're just happy. But they don't do. Because I know them. You know, that's why I think I've even written a book. I'm not sure. Called Why Are You Not a Missionary? You see, why are you not a missionary? Yes. Because it is a command from God that we should go. You see, so it's not something we sing. It's something we do. Yes, it's something we do. It's not something we sing. Amen. Amen. So I'm saying to some of us who are younger, you must believe God and obey the commandments of God that he speaks to you in your heart, in your life. You see? Because if you want to have an open and honest discussion with some of your parents, they will tell you openly that I didn't obey and I didn't believe. Yes. If they are open, they will tell you, I didn't obey and I wouldn't believe. And if you are a good parent, that's what you should do. You see, when I was praying for my son during his wedding, I basically prayed one prayer that what I couldn't achieve, may he achieve it. And what I couldn't attain to, may he attain to. Because if you be honest, honesty only will let you say, I have not attained to certain things. And I haven't attained to certain things. I haven't achieved certain things. Not even achieved, attained. I think attained is a better word. Because of an achievement, you will think it's like maybe something you accomplish. But I'm talking about attaining, getting to a certain level. Yes. And every honest parent would first of all know what you have not attained to and hope and pray and help your children to attain to certain things and also to have things you didn't have. Yes. I mean, I can see one of the things that has motivated me even for my own little biological children is that certain things that I didn't have at certain times of my life, I realized that I want them to have it. Yeah, I mean, it's natural. Well, it's not natural for everybody. Some people feel that since I suffered, you also suffer. What I've suffered, you suffer too. That is the mind of some people. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, an evil mind, do you see, is a mind which focuses on the reasons why you can't obey the word of God. The cities are walled, the giants are there, and the people are strong. Right? So, when God is sending you to the mission field anywhere, right? One of the things that is real about it is that
you say it is dangerous. What will my life going to be destroyed? Do you see? I'll be poor. I will suffer. This has been the unfortunate thinking of many people who have been privileged to come to America. Pastor Larry, you can come. People who have been privileged to come to America and Canada and Europe. But especially places where you are not behaving like, where you are not a refugee. But especially places where you are not behaving like, where you are not a refugee. A lot of Africans in Europe are a kind of refugees. So they don't rise very high. You see, but here, you realize that you are able to do something to a point. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that mind is an evil mind. It's an evil mind because not a refugee. But a lot of Africans in Europe are a kind of refugees. So they don't rise very high. You see, but here, you realize that you are able to do something to a point. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that mind is an evil mind. It's an evil mind because you don't only do something because you don't have options. I'll say it again. You don't only do something because you don't have options. Because I don't have any option than to be in Africa, I am going to Africa to serve God. You get what I'm saying? It's like they come and they say, go out. You are not from here. Go to where you came from. Then you go. I say, God has sent me to where I've been sent. That is not obedience. You see, it's like a good woman in a good marriage is not seen before marriage. Before marriage, a lady most of the time are desperate by the curse which has been placed upon them that your desire shall be for the man. It's a punishment. So they are desirous of a man, strongly driven, that can never tell you how a person is. How is she really? And I'm talking of Christian marriages. Unbeliever marriages are different. Unbeliever marriages have different parameters altogether. So remember, this is a context. You see, if you don't bring your mind to the Christian context, you never do well. Because if you take an unbeliever, they don't need to marry. They don't marry. Have girlfriend, this, whatever. One day, when they're around 40 or whatever, they say, let me settle down, and so on, and all that. But we are not unbelievers. We are Christians. We can't do those things. So our lives are different. Boys, both boys and girls. Right? So both before you marry, there's a Christian version. When I was in medical school, I mean, all around, you see the girlfriends, everybody with his girlfriend in the hostel. They spend the night. You are going to bath. You see a girl. There's a boy's place, but you go and see a girl bathing. All the unbelievers. But I was a believer. I could not do that. So when it was time to marry, I have to marry early. Because in my context, the world is different. I'm in a Christian world. In the same way, when you are married, you have unbelievers' marriages and Christian marriages. Unbelievers' marriages, the man is on top. He does whatever he wants. He's not restrained by anything. So he can do whatever he wants. And usually, the woman is oppressed. That has led to all these fights for women. So that is the usual situation. She is the underdog in that kind of marriage. But when it comes to the Christian marriage, where that's now, I'm moving to the Christian realm, where now the man is very committed. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never do anything. Then it reverses. It's true. Then you have another. So that's why every time you hear me preach, I'm talking of the Christian version of things. Not everything. So it's only a section. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You cannot know her behavior before marriage. I mean, usually you can know somehow, but you can't really tell. Because after, when they have everything you have, that's when we see who you are. It's the same thing in the ministry. When you have everything you have, that's when we see your Christianity. So I have an American citizenship, I have a green card, I have Canadian what, I have money, I can be in America, I can be here, I can be here. That's when we see who you are. Oh yeah, before that, when you are in Africa, said, God, Jehovah, yeah, and I'm not going to hold that. Jesus, I need you, God. Oh God, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, God. When you have everything, that's when we will see who you are. When you have money, when you have this, when you have this, when you have this, that is where we will see who you are. That is why you have some of the worst wives are married to pastors. You read my book, The Beauty, The Beast, and the... Yeah, you see, they're all there, described. When the pastor's wives read it, they realize that, they are shocked that somebody's not afraid to write about them. Yeah. They are surprised that somebody's not afraid to write about them and to describe them. Yeah. How they behave at home under the veil. When they remove their wigs and look like boys. They look like owls. You wonder the creature who is in the house. It's true. So saying you love God, you are this, you are this, you are that, it's like a song. It is where you now, I don't need to live in Congo. I can live in Houston. I can live in Orlando. I can live in Toronto. I can live in Vancouver. I choose to live in Congo. To serve God. That's where we really see. It's not a thing. You've been rebounded a US visa. You've been bounced visa to Belgium. You have been bound a German visa. You have been bounced UK visa. Then you say, God has sent me to Congo. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Amazing. So, what I'm talking about, I'm just saying this because, you see, I don't preach to imaginary things. I want to talk about real things. And that's why I'm saying that every parent will truthfully say, I have not attained to certain things. Amen. Amen. And every child should know that you are destined to be an improvement on whatever your parents was. You see, in Ghana, when we were going to school, I remember when we were in university, first year, with Bishop Saki and so on, a fridge. Do you know a fridge? What do you call it here? Refrigerator? Refrigerator? Is that how you say fridge? All right. Fridge, does it work here? I'm not a Canadian, so I don't know what you say. A fridge was a special thing. Yes, a fridge was the special thing. In Ghana, I'm talking of Ghana. And Bishop Saki had one. Yes. Yes, he had one. And it was like something wonderful. He came to school with it. Yes. And people didn't have fridges. You get it? But today, you can, with 200 CDs, I don't know how much is it, $50, you can get a fridge. Everybody has a fridge. Everybody. The children, almost many of the students have cars. Yeah, you go to the new thing, car parks full. Students have cars. This one's a car, this one's his car, this one is car. All the children have cars. Yes. So the children's lives are like a higher version or an improved version. Where it was a special thing for us to have a fridge. You get what I'm saying? Oh, even phones. Like fridge, I'm talking about my those days. It was a special thing. Today, it is nothing. You are in your room, there's a fridge there. Everybody has one. It's an improved version. And you mustn't say, because I didn't have a fridge, there is no need for you to have a fridge in your room in the university. You are an oppressor. You are an oppressor. Why should your child not have a fridge? Because you didn't have one. No, I don't think so. And in the same way, when it comes to spiritual things, and when it comes to the work of God, you must be honest and say, I didn't have a fridge, and I heard this same message. This same person came with this same message, and I couldn't obey it. That's all. I couldn't. So, I want you to be able to obey, but not to be casting snide remarks or casting shadows or penumbra shadows over the message that is being preached. Yes. Yes. You can't cast penumbra shadows over my message. By your attitude, your face, your silence, your no comment. I don't have any comment to make about this. I have no comment to make about this powerful message. A powerful message, you have no comment. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Teaching.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. So, we are called to take the land for God. We are called to possess the land. And how do we possess the land? We possess the land by winning souls and building churches across the land. When a country is filled with churches, and when souls are won to Christ in lands, nations, and territories, the land has been taken for God. That's what it means to take. If you want to know it practically, what does it mean to take a city? It's to fill the city with churches and to win a lot of souls from that place. Depopulate hell. Reduce those in the train going to hell for God in that city. So whichever city it is, whether it is Canada, and I can never preach about Canada without preaching about other places. Because Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is not only interested in our little corner where we are starting or where we have been, but he's interested in the whole world. Jesus died for a world. He paid for a world. And he wants a world. You have paid for, I mean, you've gone to eat, you've paid for chicken, two pieces of chicken and some rice, and they brought one piece of. You rise up and say, there are supposed to be two pieces. Where's the second piece? You stand up for your rights. I've gone to KFC, I saw two pieces of chicken. You have put one inside. Where's the second one? And And you see you causing a revolution at the KFC. So Jesus died for a world. And he will have a world. He did not die for Canada only. He did not die for rich people. He did not die for the Western world. He did not die for white people. He did not die for black people. He did not die for Asians. He died for a world. And that's what he paid for. And he will get a whole world, I'm telling you. I have little fellowship with people who don't understand these things. I don't have much fellowship with you. Sure that in sitting here, your mind is tuned to hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. Are you there or you are leaving? So let's go to Joshua, as I said to you, chapter 1. Beautiful. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every soul, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon,